The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Happy Aloha Monday. Happy nice weather on the Honolulu side Monday, but I've heard the traffic reports and I hope everyone's staying safe out on the windward side, specifically Haʻula today. Apparently that's where you're supposed to get a lot of rain. So hopefully everyone has stayed safe and dry throughout the weekend, except this funky little Honolulu pocket that we have that barely saw any bit of rain. But I hope everyone hope everyone had a good Mother's Day yesterday. We will talk about the University of Hawaii baseball game a bit more later on in the show, as we will get to all of your state tournament updates in just a little bit. But I do want to say it was a good day at the ballpark for us and Mother's Day, as my mom, shout out to you, Mom, and all of the other mothers that chose to be at the baseball game yesterday, including one of my good friends, Sayoko, and Olivia Austin and her mom. So there were a bunch of moms that were out with the Rainbow baseball team, and fortunately they continued their winning streak 11 games in a row, and hopefully and counting, after they beat UC Riverside yesterday 11-3, which included four home runs by the home team. So it was a fun day out at the ballpark. Again, I hope everyone had a good time. It was fun because I got to introduce my mom and my dad, he was there too, to Rich Hill, the baseball coach, and of course, Craig Angeles and his wonderful wife, Kristen, who also a mother, was out there celebrating with the baseball bow. So it was a fun day at the ballpark because the crowd was actually a lot bigger than I had expected it to be. So, hey, kudos to all of you guys that were out there on the special day. But you know what? When you think about how crazy the restaurants and stuff get, I'd probably want to spend it out at the ballpark too, especially watching this team that has done so well so far this season during this last stretch. And I just remember thinking it while we were there. I'm like, okay, if there's any time to not end this win streak, it better not be on Mother's Day, you
cannot
guys.
Be today.
It cannot be today. We've talked about it last week where I get it. Division One baseball, there's a reason why there's such a significance with the win streak that keeps going, because it is very difficult to win at this level of baseball. Everything can change at the swing of a bat. But fortunately, thank you, Rainbow Warriors, for not dropping the game on Mother's Day. What happens on the road next at Long Beach State is left to be seen, but this team is really on fire. And again, we'll get you more of the details a little later on the show when we kind of have our collective UH sports update, because there was a lot that happened over the weekend in UH sports as well.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend for the Bows on the baseball diamond, as it's been for the past few weeks. It's 10 in a row against Division One opponents. There's so much to get into with that. There was women's or Rainbow Wahine water polo, plus we have a bunch of high school sports that happened this past weekend as well to remind us how great this next generation of athletes in college are going to be, including one Kainoa Wade, who will join the Bows next year, graduating a little bit early, kind of like Tred Rosenthal. So a really fun weekend in general. Hopefully all the mothers out there got to enjoy it in whatever way. Hopefully all Knicks fans' mothers were looking away during yesterday.
I texted Paul as that... I think at the time it was like 40 points.
It was
and
a lot.
I was like, Paul, if you didn't call your mother yet, make sure you're nice. don't call her angry.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe we will run out of time to talk about that later, because we have a lot
whatever.
To get to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say full day.
The ones that had maybe the moms that had a good weekend are those from Kamehameha Schools, Kapa'alama. Not so much on the Punahou end. We saw some rains and streaks come to an end. We'll start things off, though, with the Kioya Hotels Girls Water Polo State Championships. That's where Paul and I were at. Of course, it was like the most fitting thing to happen is that the first time myself, even though I've been covering sports here for a long time, it's my first time actually going and covering girls water polo. And Paul, he's still new to Hawaii, but nonetheless, he's been with us for a couple of years. So him too. We're I feel like we're starting to become water polo experts at this point. We've really come into the sport, watching a lot of Rainbow Wahine water polo, of course, throughout the regular season and the NCAA tournament and Big West tournament, of course. But we were up at Kamehameha Schools Kapalama, where the state championship was held between Kapalama and Punahou. And of course, it would go to overtime. But the Warriors ultimately defeating the Buff and Blue 9-8 in overtime. And man, what a match. Like, it was just watching these two teams are at another level. I did get a chance to go out and check out the quarterfinal round of water polo. And of course, all of the student athletes work really, really hard. But watching these two teams who have essentially battled each other for like the last how many years, Punahou has tended to come out in front. Now, last year, Kamehameha actually ended the streak for the Buff and Blue. And then even though it doesn't feel quite historic, just because we're so used to these teams meeting in the championship, it's historic in the sense that this is the first team, or I guess second team, excuse me. It's only been Punahou so far, so it's the second team to win consecutive titles. So they won last year, and they were able to go back-to-back. Punahou had won since 2008. Prior to last year, Iolani won in 2007, Kamehameha won in 2006, and then Punahou kicked things off, winning it in 04 and 05, which is when it became an HHSAA sport. So it's been pretty much Punahou's whole sport this entire time, so Kamehameha coming out on top. But before we talk about it a little bit more, here is what the Warriors head coach Anthony Cabrera had to say, and he starts off by telling us what it means to repeat as state champs.
This is awesome. I mean, only one other team has done it in the history of girls water polo in the state of Hawaii, and you know, we look up to that program. So to repeat is just such an awesome feeling, and all the credit really goes to the girls. They did an awesome job.
Can you tell me about the presence of mind you guys had? You had to make up a couple goals, a minute and a half less in regulation.
Just what we keep preaching, you know, all year. We don't want to be too high, too low. So you know, nothing is a surprise. We just go out and do what we do.
What would you tell them on that final, Punahou call, timeout, 5 seconds
number
left,
six,
just to play defense there?
Yeah, we just got to make sure we got good matchups and not to let them get any shots off on the goal. Number eight, and we did a good job with that.
Okay. Let's talk about the hot start by your team and how Punahou later got back into the game.
I mean, we expected it to be a back and forth fight. We had three overtime games before the finals tonight, so it's not a surprise that we went to overtime again. They're such a good team, well coached, really good players, so kind of what we expected.
State title streak, how does that sound?
Number 14.
It sounds nice. I don't know about streak, which is just two, but when they had 13 in a row. So, yeah, we'll see what we have. You know, we graduate a lot this year, and we'll get back to the drawing board in the summertime. But, yeah, we're just going to enjoy this tonight, man.
That was Kamehameha Kapalama head coach Anthony Cabrera. And I hope you guys can make out majority of what he said, because obviously it was very, very loud. The fans were loud, but kind of like equal attendance by both Punahou and Kamehameha, even though it was hosted right up the road at Upper Farrington campus over here. So but also we got a good quote that Paul had pointed out to me from one of the players, Lucky Wong, who had scored three goals in that match. So this is what she had to say following that win as well.
Just talk about your team and the character it showed to pull out this victory.
I think we showed really good resilience and humility. I mean, we got so excited after like every shot, but we still like stayed in the game and kept our heads together. And I think it shows great like resilience and like determination toward each other.
Especially in that last 90 seconds of the fourth quarter, you guys had to make up a couple, right?
Yeah. We had to get some quick shots in so that we know we can like win overtime. We've done it before. We've done a bunch of these close games with them, and I think that playing at our home and like having our school and family to support us like really helped a lot.
So it's two in a row. You ended their streak last year, obviously. And just talk about winning two in a row against a program like that. They won, I think, 13 in a row, I believe.
Yeah, it feels really amazing. I was really hoping we would get the 2-peat this year, and we did. And now we can go home saying that we may be the new queens of water polo in town.
Okay, Lucky Wong. And I was just joking with Paul because we have that recorded on video, which you guys will be able to see on our social media a little later today. But she said that quote looking directly into the camera and like, we might be the new queens of water polo in town again. the first and only, or second and only team to go back to back in girls water polo state championships, because it's been pretty much all Punahou's. Kamehameha finally ended, as you heard Kyle Sakamoto say, the 13 win streak, again, winning since 2008 last year, and then going back to back and winning this year. And we'll see. It's been a battle all regular season. Both these teams, the only regular season matches they've lost to each other were to each other. So it was going to come down to this, and it was only fitting that it went to overtime as well, but it was intense. It was fun, and it was just an intense time. Paul and I had a lot of fun, and the whole time just watching water polo that up close too, I'm like, man, they're just like, they're just this interesting thing where they almost like go underwater-ish and like shoulder check each other in the chest, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on?
So I was watching the national championship for women's water polo that happened yesterday with Morgan, and after the match was over, she was like, oh my God, these girls are bruised.
It's crazy.
And like, you don't realize how physical it is, because it's a water sport. You look and there's just so much thrashing of the surface. And you don't realize that even at the high school level, where at the top level, and these two teams are the top level, it was very high quality water polo being played this past weekend. And they were beating the living daylights out of each other, you know, within the rules for the most part. There were only like 5 exclusions, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It was a very well played match. And in the end, I mean, what championship resolve shown by KS Kapalama, where they're down 2 goals with under 2 minutes left. And I mean, I'll be honest.
Well, not only that, like, they had the hot start. They were up like 3-0 really quickly.
Yes.
And then Punahou just battles back, and then they just go back and forth. And then at the very end, Punahou actually does get a shot off, but hits the upper right V post, and then it's over. And I was like, whoa, this is intense. This is awesome.
It was so stressful. Well, because, right, I was saying that right before the final timeout during regulation that Kamehameha called, I was just like, oh, this is over. Like, just for the matter of, you have the 30-second shot clock. There was about 90 seconds left. And, you know, it really good Punahou defense. And tell you what, the Warriors punched 2 goals in within 30 seconds of each other to tie the game up after that timeout and send it to that overtime period. That's when you and I kind of shared a look like, oh my goodness.
Our first. Luckily, the games or matches themselves are,
oh, they're so
short
fast,
and they're quick, and there's always so much action. So it was still a fun time, but congratulations again to the young ladies of Kamehameha Schools Kapalama for going back to back in girls water polo.
Might be the new queens.
They might
of
be
water
the new
polo.
Queens of water polo. Shout out Lut Yuong. All right, going over to the court now. The New City Nissan Boys Volleyball State Championships. We'll start off with Division II. The University Lab Junior Bows won their first ever state title in boys volleyball, defeating Les Jardins in 5 sets, 25-22, 25-27, 27-25, 25-27, and 15-12. So it was definitely a back and forth matter game, and finished the season in its entirety unbeaten to redeem themselves from last year, in which they lost to St. Louis. But here is what their head coach, Jonah Reyes, had to say following that match.
I'm just grateful for our kids, grateful for our coaching staff. You know, I think we have some of the best kids in the state. I know we have a really good coaching staff, so I'm just grateful for everybody, including our AD, Walt helping out with everything. So,
what did it mean to bring the team's first state championship boys volleyball?
Oh, it's amazing. It's such a great feeling, especially after what happened last year, you know, coming up short. We just had a lot of kids, you know, with that taste in their mouth, just wanting that. So it was great to finally be able to finish, you know, to be able to come out and finish. You know, they say it's hard to beat a team 3 times. Last year we found that to be true. And this team too, you know, they're a great team, well coached, you know, hats off to them. They played a really good game. And so we're just grateful that we could execute. we just have such good kids. They're hard workers. We show up every day. You know, we practice like champions. We're not feeling about it. You know, coming into the gym, setting that intention whenever we come into the gym for whatever reason. You know, even when we're coming into the film room, we're just setting that intention to get better every day. And we've gotten a lot of help along the way, and so we just want to say, you know, thank you to everybody else that out there that helped us.
Cool. Talk about him, because he like almost had nearly 40 kills, I thought.
He's a great kid, number one. He's a great kid, and an awesome athlete. He's just a competitor. You know, you can't ask for a better player than that, you know, a more coachable player than Cole. So we're just really grateful for that. Between him and Micah, they're just, you know, we just blend really well together. And so we're grateful that, you know, we have this team. We also have Trey Ambrosa, who was actually hurt this whole season. And so, you know, we just were able to come together. We had man down. I think this whole season, we counted out 4 games this whole season where we've actually had our whole team. This is, you know, coming into this, so we're just really stoked to be able to play at such a high level together.
The game, the match was back and forth. You guys took one, they took one, you took the next, they took the next.
Yeah.
How'd you guys kind of refocus in that fifth set? Because it seemed like they were going to kind of take it away from you guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, playing a team, you know, twice already, we get a lot of film on them, we've seen them. Kind of knowing their tendencies, it's always a back and forth between us and this team. And so, again, they're well coached, and I think our kids just really wanted it. I think that feeling that we got last year, you know, we didn't want it again, you know. And so, you know, sometimes lickings is the best teacher. And so we're just grateful that, you know, we were able to pull it off. You know, stay composed, do the right things. You know, we have a really good system that we think that our coaching staff has put into place, and we thought that if we just stuck to our system, you know, we'd come out on top. And so we're just grateful that this time we got to.
Spoken like a true local guy, the head coach for University Lab Boys volleyball team, the Division II state champs, Jonah Reyes. Sometimes lickins is the best. That's what happens. They redeem themselves again to finish this season unbeaten after suffering the loss in the championship game against St. Louis last year. And he mentioned Cole LaBoy, one of their star players, finished with 40 kills. 40 kills, 3 aces, and 21 digs. And in case that last name sounds familiar, yes, it is in relation to that LaBoy. Christian Shimabuku, with these interesting fun facts, is that his father is former UH football player Travis LaBoy, and his mother is former women's volleyball all-conference player Noheya Tano. So talk about your genetic genes. However,
he won the genetic lottery, yeah. Dog. Holy cow.
And this is you guys should see this kid play too. Like, he is incredibly athletic. He stands at 6'4", and this is also something Christian tweeted about from KHON2 Sports, that he is stands at 6'4", and even though his father was a football player, a very good one at that, a lot of you guys remember, his mom does not let him play football. So he has to play the mom sport in volleyball. He's
pretty darn good at it.
It looks like he could be a very, very, maybe like a linebacker size type of guy, and nope, can't play no football, so got to play mom sport. And he actually kind of mentions his mom a little bit. So this is what he was selected as: the most outstanding player of Division II for the Division II state tournament. And this is what Cole LaBoy had to say following their win.
First one in school history, what does it feel like?
I mean, it feels great to make history, of course. I'm just so glad to be able to come out and just execute and get it done. Amen.
I think you had like 40 plus kills. Talk about what your mindset and your performance tonight.
I just kept thinking, next play, next play. Even when I hit it out, I kept telling the setter, you know, give it back to me, I'm gonna side out this play. So it's just, gotta stay confident, like my mom would say.
You guys came up short of St. Louis last year in the final. How hard have you guys been working for this?
I mean, not just that loss, but we had many guys on the basketball team who fell short this year to Seabury. We fell short to Kohala the year before. And of course, last year, also falling short to St. Louis. It's just all been fuel to us to really go out and just take this. And we wanted it so bad.
Talk about Kovacki being a facilitator for you, and then for Micah, and then for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't want another center. Kovacki's really just running the floor, doing it all out there. He knows exactly when to set everyone, and there's so much trust in him from everyone.
That was Cole LaBoy of the University Lab boys volleyball team. And as you mentioned, I mean, yeah, genetic lottery with two parents that not only just played for the University of Hawaii, but both very, very outstanding and great athletes for the University of Hawaii. So potentially we could see Cole LaBoy
home.
Be a future Rainbow Warrior. just like Kainoa Wade. He is getting ready to enroll early at the University of Hawaii and be ready to play next season. The most outstanding player selected in Division I boys volleyball as Kamehameha Kapalama ended Punahou's reign in boys volleyball in the Division I state championship match. Punahou has won since 2012. Obviously, no tournament in 2020 and 2021. And then Kamehameha had last won in 2011, but it's been all Punahou every year ever since 2012. Game went four sets, 25-27, 25-23, 25-17, 25-21. And that last set was key because Kamehameha was up, and then they went down, and then they battled back to win it all in that fourth and final set. Lost in five sets to Punahou last year in the championship game, but they definitely wanted it. So here is what the Warriors head coach Salva Agpun had to say following that huge, huge win.
All the stress, it's like a year-round job, this thing, and makes it worth it. Makes it worth it. Not to say last year wasn't worth it too, yeah, but you know, learning lesson every year.
What did you attribute tonight? You guys just having the better of them for the first time in the five matchups you saw them this year?
Oh, man, I really relied on my assistant coaches making sure that they're staying together, hyped up. Coach Nua, making sure they're hyped up for this, keeping them together, make sure a little bit different from last year, and they stay positive the whole game.
What'd you tell the team after losing that first set?
That we had it. We had it. I mean, 28-26, we had it. We know Punahou's game is all about adjusting, so that's the one thing we did different too. We made sure we adjusted to their game and adjust our game.
Can you say about Kainoa's job he did in his last front match?
He stayed a lot more positive. He made sure that every time we needed to spread that ball just a little bit more into the outside, to the middle, he was super supportive about everything we needed to do.
Yeah, I thought the set distribution this state championship was a lot more spread out than last year. So talk about everybody kind of stepping up in their roles.
Yeah, not by much, but that's all we needed. That's all we needed to adjust. Just a little, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. It's okay to, you know, he's a big guy and he's a super talented player. But we just needed that, you know, one or two points that we needed, as you guys saw at the scores. Yeah.
Yeah, what can you say about like those other guys tonight?
Oh man, stepped up. Connor Williams stepped up. Christian, the passing stepped up this final game. Stepped up. We were struggling with passing for the pretty much the bulk of the season. And the passing was superb.
How about giving it up for Seth?
How key was moving Harrison to the, like, kind of midstream this season?
Harrison, oh man, it's hard to condemn when he's a libero. His energy is just always positive. He doesn't have to worry about anything else but that, and that's why we just had to have him in that spot. Yeah.
What does this moment mean for Kamehameha? It's been a while since you guys have won one of these.
I know. It's something that I've been wanting to work on, and Kainoa mentioned it in that last interview, that creating a legacy. We want to, you know what I'm saying, not just make this a one-time thing. We want to try and make it, you know, multiple, like how Rick Kuhn does with their program and how Chris Blake does with the girls' program.
Kamehameha School's Kapalama boys volleyball head coach Salva Agpun following that huge match. And it's so funny because he's like, it's a year-round job. Yeah, it is, especially in the private school realm of sports like boys volleyball. And if you take a look at the regular season, I mean, you got to win the games that matter. And this is the game that mattered this year, because if you look back, Kamehameha has a few losses on their schedule, one coming at the hands of Iolani. And throughout the entire regular season, they were not able to beat Punahou at all. So three losses against Punahou this season, and one when it mattered. Hence why a most outstanding player in Division One state tourney, Kainoa Wade, had to say what he did, finishing with 34 kills on 76 swings and one ace and 11 digs. So this is what Kainoa Wade had to say following the match.
Let's talk about this. What does it feel like to cap off your high school career, winning a state championship and ending Punahou's reign?
It's unbelievable. I mean, that's a great team on the other side, and I have so much love for every player on that team. But this team, it was bruised, battled, and we're battle tested, and that's what happened tonight. We've proved what we could do.
What did you guys tell yourselves in that fourth set when it almost looked like it was slipping away from you, but you guys were able to battle back and end up ultimately winning?
This team never loses confidence. Even if we're down 10, we're not going to lose confidence, and that's what we showed tonight. Harris and Suarez played a great game. Connor Williams played a great game. Christian Togiai played a great game. The whole team, it was a team effort, and we couldn't have done it without any of those guys.
What did you guys tell yourselves even just going into this game in the first place, knowing how tough this Punahou team is, how well coached they are and everything, but believing and telling each other that we could do this?
We knew throughout this whole season we went to their place and we didn't score 20 points. And then we said May 11th is the only game that matters. And we straight up, it didn't matter. It's the only game that matters.
How does it feel now, though? Now planning ahead, looking to the future, still keeping your career here in Hawaii?
I'm excited. I'm ready to represent the state on a bigger level. And yeah, it's straight up.
So we got a little thrown off, and it sounded a lot louder there than like you guys heard on that little interview after that they started playing Happy Birthday. And that was a happy birthday shout out in the arena to OC16's Felipe Ojastro. So as we were ending that, that's why I chuckled, and we both kind of looked at each other and were like, are they playing Happy Birthday right now? And so the ending kind of got cut short.
Felipe's birthday. Oh my goodness.
So it was just so funny. His birthday was on Friday, and then they even brought, I posted it on our social, where they brought like a cake with Felipe's face on it, and like everyone was eating cake after. But in case the ending of that interview, you guys couldn't tell, it was kind of awkward because both Kainoa and I were like, yeah, we looked at each other like, okay, we're so thrown off right now because we hear Happy Birthday being played and people started singing. So apologies for that kind of weird ending to that. But Kainoa Wade, again, Kamehameha School's Kapalama, ending Punahou's reign in boys volleyball and winning the Division One New City Nissan Boys Volleyball State Championship. And of course, his dad, Charlie Wade, was in attendance, and you could tell he was very emotional and very happy for his son that they were able to win this. And that's a good kind of like cap on his high school career as he gets set to be a Rainbow Warrior come this offseason.
I have to imagine that this almost solidifies, like, I know he wasn't going to go back on that choice or whatever. Like, he was always planning on, like, this was his last shot at a state title. But it feels like it almost, oh, God, it feels so weird because I'm always like, oh, God doesn't care about sport. It's like a cosmic sign to be like, all right, man, you made the right choice. Like, you have been working, and this team, this program has been working for years to try and end Punahou's reign. And finally, in your last chance, you do it. And you do it in four sets, too, which is impressive against a Punahou. Everyone who I talked to expected that match, the state championship Division One match, to go five sets. Like, every single person.
Like it did last year.
Exactly. Well, like it does almost every single time between those two teams. So to do it in four sets and do it, like you said before, in a way where you take an early lead only to then lose that and then come back. It was an all around great performance by the Warriors, and one that if I'm Kainoa Wade, I look at this, I'm like, yeah, we made our mark. You've heard him talk about it in some of the post game scrums, just about like the history of it and how it feels to go down all time in the program's books. So very, very cool for them. A great weekend for KS Kapalama in general, and just a fun sports weekend in high school sports here in Hawaii.
And today is the final push for state tournaments, as there is baseball and softball this week that we will bring you digital coverage of, maybe on the radio, but we'll see. But wrapping up our state tournament recap over the weekend, again, congratulations to University Lab, the first state title in boys volleyball for Division II, finishing the season unbeaten. Kamehameha School's Kapalama winning their first state championship in Division I since 2011 and ending Punahou's long tenured reign that they've had since 2012. And then, of course, the Kamehameha School's Kapalama girls water polo team, who defeated Punahou 9-8 in overtime to go back to back. All right, got to step aside and actually take a break. We'll be back in a couple minutes to give you the University of Hawaii updates of everything that happened over the weekend. Next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to
more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people, alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. And of course, following us on social media at High Sports Radio. We brought you a lot of action from this weekend. And you guys can text us as well at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. Okay, so we talked a lot about high school sports to open up the show. Now we're going to go and switch over to the University of Hawaii side, because there was a lot of stuff that went on as well. Oh, I forgot to give the... Never mind. Anyways, we'll give you that update tomorrow, because I'm like, all right, we're going to move on from the high school stuff. Okay, University of Hawaii, we only got an hour of the show and we've got a lot to get into. We will start with the bad news first. We'll start with the bad news. I don't know. It's not entirely bad. It was still a very, very good season as a whole. The Rainbow Wahine water polo team did fall in the semifinals to Cal 9-6. To finish the season 23-4, still ended the season, or they were still undefeated in the Big West Conference, of course, winning the Big West Conference Championship as well. They had the program's highest national ranking and NCAA tournament seed in program history to send off head coach Maureen Cole after her 18 years with the program. Not all of it as head coach, but in its entirety, 18 years. So shout out to Coach Mo Cole. And it was a tough one. They picked the worst day to have a bad day, the Rainbow Wahine did, because I still believe that they are the better team. They beat Cal, they kind of split in the regular season against Cal, and it's just things. They just couldn't finish shots. Bernadette Doyle, to her credit, had a hat trick, though. They still had their shimmers of hope. Again, score 9-6. They were very much in it until maybe like the last minute or so. So remain competitive, but ultimately losing to Cal. And this is what head coach Maureen Cole and Bernadette Doyle had to say following that match on Saturday.
I'm just, came aside just really proud of the Wahine team this year, this season, and this game in particular. It didn't go the way we wanted it to, but they fought until the end, and that's just a testament to the people they are. They're a great group of girls. There's no group I would want to spend the last 9 months with, and just really proud of their efforts. And it's sports. There's a winner, there's a loser. This is two evenly matched teams. We couldn't put the ball away very well today. They did. So credit to Cal for doing that. And just, wish this could have gone on another day, but proud of the team.
Yeah, I know pretty fresh on right after the match, but if you guys could put into words just kind of what this season has meant to you guys. I mean, obviously for you, Coach, being, your last season, but for you as well, Bernadette, just kind of if you could sum up into words kind of what this season was for you guys.
I mean, for this group, I think it's historic, right? There was a lot of firsts. We went undefeated in conference, and the first time we've ever beaten Stanford, we beat SC twice. I mean, those are things that this group will never, that won't ever be taken away from them. This is the first time we made a semifinal in a new format. I know we've made it before, but it's harder to get here. And this is the first time we've ever been able to do that. So I think historic is a word that comes to mind, and just really proud of the group.
Yeah. I feel very proud to be a part of this team. We all work really hard. I'm so happy that I was able to be coached by Mo again and James. It's been a great year with the team, and we've just tried to make Hawaii proud and the university. I guess we didn't get there in the end, and we were right there and we fought right till the end. So I guess that just shows our team this year.
Well, hi, Coach. I was just hoping if you could talk about just their defense. It looks like their length kind of give your team some trouble. And also talk about the team's struggle on the power play. I think it was 2 of 17 today.
Yeah, the power play tells it pretty much all. Yeah, we couldn't put the ball away, and I don't know. You know, just we weren't putting the ball away. I think we're getting good looks on the cage. We're necessarily weren't stepping in at the right time all the time, but we were a little out of sorts. So there were a lot of mystery fouls early. I know there were a lot of exclusions, but we had a lot of our girls that have been in the water a lot take some early exclusions for fouls that I did not see. And so we had a different group of girls in that we weren't used to. And although we got those exclusions, the damage was, I mean, we were trying to claw our way back. We had great opportunities even in the fourth quarter to bring it to a 2-goal game with 4 minutes left. But that second quarter was a killer. And there were just a bunch of things that happened in that sequence with Bernie taking a couple that fell early and then a second one pretty quick. And we just had some girls out. So the rotations were a little bit different. And it was just there were just fouls that we weren't used to seeing throughout the year that were a little bit different in this game. So it was a little confusing. But at this end of the day, you know, we still earned 16 6-on-5s and 17. So we could have done a much better job of putting the ball away.
The defense in the second half held them to 1 goal to give yourselves a chance for the comeback. So after that, you know, pretty tough second quarter, how did you guys manage to turn that aspect around?
I mean, it is literally a game of inches. And in the first half, we were short. There were some calls. We were a little late on help and different things. So they upped the ante. I'm not really sure the effort, like I said, for them was always there. We knew how to be possession by possession. So we just tried to play every possession to the best of their ability and were able to get some stops. But again, on the offensive side, it just wasn't working very well for us. They did a great job defensively. So credit to Cal.
Well, hi, Coach. Just talk about the program moving forward and how you think Coach Robinson will do from here on out.
I think Coach Robinson is like the best that there is. I think Hawaii is in phenomenal hands, and that is really why I'm at complete peace walking away. I always want to leave things better than I found it, and I think I did that, and I think that the program's going to be better off with him leading the program moving forward. So I'm excited for him. He's as good as they get, and he's young, and he's fiery, and he's smart, and he's passionate, and he cares a lot about these girls. So I'm just excited to support.
And that was UH Women's Water Polo head coach Maureen Cole. You can tell at the end that she was getting a little emotional as she was asked about just the future of the program now that she exit, but has Coach Robinson coming in. And I mean, they're not going to skip a beat. I don't think so. He's coming over from UCLA as well. He's a known winner. The players that are already there have taken to him. They love him already. And a lot of these players are coming back. So for all of our water polo fans, and for maybe all of you that have somewhat started to follow water polo, hopefully because of this show, we invite you guys to come like support them next year as well, because it's a fun team to watch. Quick games, but falling short in the semifinals on Saturday, 9-6 to Cal. At least Cal ended up losing to UCLA, so it's okay. Mahalo to Coach Mo Cole for all of her dedication to the UH program for 18 years, and now she gets to go. I remember she was mentioning, like, oh, she gets to, you know, obviously hang out with her kids and go surfing and whatnot.
She gets to enjoy life a little bit.
Enjoying life. I mean, D1 sports can be stressful.
I was going to say, we talk about it all the time, how coaching is a thankless job, mm-hmm. and especially at the Division I level, it is a year-round thankless job. So I'm really excited for her to get some time with her family and an ability to still take in and enjoy the program that she has helped build into a national power. We were just talking about it off air. Women's water polo has been run by the same three teams for the entirety of its, you know, existence in the NCAA's mind since 2001. Only 5 total programs have ever made it to the national championship game. And, you know, it was an awesome year to go to the semifinals. It matches as far as Hawaii has ever gone. And you hear Coach Mo Cole get a little bit choked up towards the end of that interview. And, you know, it's, I have to imagine it's for so many reasons. One of like, I really believed her when she was talking about, oh, I'm not thinking about retirement yet. I'm not thinking about like, I'm not thinking about the season being over. Mm-hmm. Like we are focused on the next game, the next game, the next game. I think that was the first moment that she had actually gotten a chance to realize that the next step was finally here. Mm-hmm. When asked about Coach Robinson and what he will do with the program going forward, because that forces you to put things in perspective. And I think it hit her there. And credit to her, she gave an outstanding answer and a very lengthy answer on how great Coach Robinson's going to be for this program. And just for those who, like you said, are starting to get into water polo, you know, Rainbow Wahine Water Polo did pretty well the last time they took a UCLA grad and national champion and put them at the helm. So I'm just going to say that.
That's why. I'm like, it's going to continue. You have the Big West Player of the Year back-to-back times, Bea Montalado Diaz. Obviously, she's only a sophomore.
She's filthy.
So there, the future is bright. But again, mahalo to Coach Mo Cole for her 18 years of dedication to the University of Hawaii and the women's water polo program. All right, got to take a break, our last break of the show, but we have more UH sports updates to bring you to close things out here on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhale Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Kuhale Agbayani and Paul Brecht giving you all the updates of everything that happened within the last few days. Earlier, we talked a lot about the state tournaments that went on, specifically in boys volleyball and girls water polo. If you guys missed any of that, feel free to listen on demand at hawaiisportsradio.com or wherever you get your podcast soon after the conclusion of the morning show. And you can listen to a bunch of stuff, of course, on demand as well. All right, but we're sticking with our University of Hawaii sports, spoke about water polo. Now getting into the good news of the winning news for UH. Going to start with women's track and field. Had a good showing out there at the Big West Conference tournament, or championships, I should say. They finished their final team standings. Hawaii finished third, putting up 102.5 points behind Cal Poly, who took it all, and UC Irvine, that was second. But they had really good showings in the different events. Montserrat Montanez E. Arbo, she got the day started by defending her crown in the hammer throw. So she won last year and was able to win this year. The cool thing is that this Rainbow Wahine team had actually swept the relays. They won the 4x100-meter relay consisting of Kristen Cook, Amy Warrington, Alyssa Mae Antolin, and Izzy Nishaw to win the program's first ever conference title in that event and lowering their school record for the third time this year, getting around in 45.03 seconds and to beat the field by over a half second. So shout out to them. And they also were able to win the 4x400-meter relay as well. So taking home a lot of gold medals and awards. And then Izzy Nishaw, a freshman. I'm like, who is this girl? She not only was she anchoring the legs for those relays, but she also,
as
yeah,
a freshman,
that's what, exactly.
As
like,
a freshman?
She's the freshman
that's
anchor.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you if you guys who are maybe somewhat familiar with track and field and these relays, like that's being the anchor is basically like the best, like the biggest deal. And you're essentially like the fastest and the best runner on the team to be that anchor. So Izzy Nishaw anchoring both the 4x100 and 4x400-meter relays. But she also, Izzy that is, took home the 400-meter Big West title in 54.01 seconds and closed with that strong final 100 meters to become only the second Rainbow Wahine ever, first since 1985, Gwen Gardner,
yeah,
in 1985,
I was alive
then. I wasn't either, to win a conference 400-meter title, posting the number two-time in program history. So maybe potential freshman phenom in track and field for the Rainbow Wahine, because she had an incredible showing.
Crazy.
But obviously you always want to finish first, but getting into that top three, shout out to the Rainbow Wahine. And the announcers kept saying it throughout the time I was watching the ESPN Plus stream, and they were talking about how this program has just been able to get better year by year and continue to sustain this success. So other things too exciting, obviously, you know, Maui girl Alyssa Mae Antolin, this is her final year. Congratulations, she did graduate. Congratulations to everyone that graduated over the weekend.
True.
But I mean, future is bright with this freshman in Izzy Nishaw.
I'm trying to get over as a freshman, an anchor freshman. That's really cool, man. And it just continues how awesome Hawaii sports have been this year and will be going forward. There's so much young talent at the University of Hawaii, and I'm glad to see that continues to ooze even into the track and field program, to the point where, like you said, I know you want to be top one, but top three is pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. That means you placed, you podiumed, whatever the phrasing is. I know every sport has different phrasing, but hey, only room to go up two.
Well, and then it just shows how, as it sounds, it's a team thing. So obviously the events are individual / the relays are teams, of course. But for the most part, there are individual events. And then it's depending on how well you score in each event gets added to your final team total. And then there, the University of Hawaii was able to finish third behind Cal Poly and UC Irvine. So congratulations, ladies. And they will now await selections for the NCAA West Regional that will be May 22nd through 25th in Arkansas.
Arkansas.
That's exactly how I like to say it, too, because there's Kansas in there.
Well, it just looks like Arkansas. That's something we'll talk about someday.
The English language is such a really fickle little thing that's bugger.
It's a good way to
sometimes
put it.
Sometimes it doesn't know what it wants to be half the time.
It's like me, for real.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know what the English language is anymore. All right. Last but certainly not least, started off the show with this. Now we're going to end the show with this. The Rainbow baseball team, 11 game win streak so far, the nation's best active winning streak at the moment, and the only double digit win streak currently, longest winning streak by the program since 1995. So we are rocking and rolling. Beat UC Riverside yesterday to sweep the series, and of course extend that win streak. Beat them 11-3, including four home runs, one by Jordan Donahue, one by Elijah Iquez, and two.
Count them, two.
Jared Quant. It was exciting. I mean, that second inning, five runs scored in the second inning, which included the 3-run home run by Elijah Iquez, which was actually his first career homer as well. So talk about just the fun Mother's Day at the ballpark. That's where, if you guys missed the beginning, my mom chose to go to spend her Mother's Day. She wanted to go watch this team. And shout out mom, because she does listen to the show. She at least listens to the first half, because then she has to go to work by like 8:30 and stuff. But it was because she was listening to the show and she got all hyped about the winning streak and knowing how good the program is, that's why she wanted to go to the baseball game. She's like, I listened to your show on Friday and I thought it would be exciting to go to the baseball game for Mother's Day.
Mom.
She's like, I know I want to spend it outside. I don't want to be, you know, in the busy restaurants.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah. So she's like, I just wanted to go to the baseball game. It was so much fun. And just, I chuckled about this in the beginning of the show that thankfully, thank you, gentlemen, for not ending. I'm sure they felt that way as well, because it was cute. The ceremonial first pitch was actually thrown out by the moms of the players to the players themselves, for the moms that could be in attendance. So
that's so cute.
All of that. I mean, I get it. The visiting team, they have moms too. They're celebrating Mother's Day, but this is our home field. And like I said, your ceremonial first pitch is from your mom to you. You can't
it's
lose
cool,
this game.
Man. It's cool.
It was
you
a good day.
Win.
It was a fun day yesterday. If you guys were able to go, yeah, it was fun.
I mean, so 11 in a row, 10 in a row against Division I opponents. Like you said, the longest such streak since 1995 for the Rainbow Warriors baseball program. They're now tied for the 14th longest win streak of the year in Division I college baseball.
Woo!
They have, like you said, the longest winning streak in the nation at 11 straight games. The next closest team has won 9 consecutive games.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of cushion there for now, a little cushion for the push it type. It's been a really nice time for Hawaii baseball. And it's going to continue where you hit the road one last time for Long Beach State, who always loves to try and be a thorn in your side. Can you continue this win streak a little bit longer? Three more games would push you up into the seventh longest winning streak of the season, tied with Vanderbilt, which, you know, we've talked about. They're decent
they're
baseball
decent
program.
Baseball program.
So, no, Hawaii baseball hitting its stride. And like you said, it's a bunch of different guys, whether it's Elijah Ikez hitting his first career home run, Jared Kant, who has been just... I've seen a lot of people talk about how much they want to see him play more, and it seems like every time that he does end up playing, he's trying to tell Coach Rich Hill, play me more. Two home runs yesterday, a great game for him, a great game for the Bows, and a great game for any mothers who enjoy some Rainbow Warrior baseball.
And of course, shout out to Harrison Bodendorf, the winning pitcher of that game as well. I mean, it was such a good game. Even my mom was kind of shocked when he got taken out. She's like, oh, he's going out already. And that brings me to my story to end the show. And my mom, I told you guys on Friday that she is like the sweetest person and like genuinely kind-hearted person on the planet. So because the Bows were up by so many points, we were up like 10-2 at the time at the top of the eighth inning. And then UC Riverside hits a home run and she's over there like, oh, yay. And I'm like, Mom, why are you cheering for the other team? You're not supposed to cheer for the other team. She's like, yeah, but they're losing by so much. Like, okay, Mom, like, that's who you are. She
Mom's
felt
very
bad.
Sweet, but also a low-key savage for that.
It's like, Mom, like, I can't. So, I mean, that's where it's funny because I get like, I like to think I get my somewhat compassionate sweet side from her, and then my dad has always been the one that like does like the throat slashing move, like, and it's winning isn't everything, honey, it's the only thing. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. But fun day, gotta go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kutule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.